I want you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, page 1096, if you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you. Page 1096. You know, I know this has been a really busy week as far as the news is concerned. Everything from the World Cup, and are you all pleased with the final of the World Cup? Oh, I didn't want to give anything away, so sorry. Anyway, it was very, very good fun watching that. But you know, with all the other things going on in the news over the last week or so, kind of the really big ticket item, the one that drew the eyes of the world, had nothing to do with really Donald Trump or Vladimir Putin. The eyes of the world were drawn to Thailand, and an amazing, just a stunning event. Now, I know people are born and people die. There are stunning events going on all the time. But when you've got a young youth soccer team that is trapped in a flooded cave, and you see Thai Navy SEALs doing everything they can and all of their support teams, it is a gripping, gripping thing. And then add to that one of those retired Navy SEALs losing his life in the process of serving in support of getting oxygen to everyone. It was a gripping event. And what is really, really amazing is to think that these people just kept at it and kept at it and kept at it. This morning we're going to talk about keeping at what God calls his people to do. Jaime prayed this morning about making disciples, and Debbie read that scripture that talked about Jesus really just pouring himself out for people, and whom the Father loves, he as a shepherd, he just reaches out and he knows his sheep. And the amazing thing in the midst of all of this is that just like that team of Thai Navy SEALs and people from all over the world who were rescue-minded, they went to that place and they kept at it. God calls his people and blesses us and empowers us and keeps us at it in terms of reaching the people around us. I want you to follow along as I read from Acts chapter 16, page 1096. I'm going to read. Paul and Silas are on their second missionary journey. They have picked up a young man by the name of Timothy, who came to Christ on his first missionary journey, and he's along, and he's not just along for the ride. He's carrying the water. He's doing whatever it takes to reach people for Christ. And now in verse 11, they've been called to Macedonia from Troas. We put out to sea and sailed 156 miles. First on that leg, on that trip, we sailed first to Samothrace, an island along the way, about a third of the way along the way. And the next day on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and we began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of their household were baptized, she invited us to her home. And this is what she said: "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Father, I pray that as we look at this text and look closely, I pray that you'd help us to understand what it's saying, and then help us to understand it in the context also of our own lives. Thank you, Father, that the same Holy Spirit who was present there in Philippi is present here with us. And I pray that you would enliven my mind and my heart. And I pray that for all of us, Lord. May we see you a little more clearly. Maybe a lot. We'll leave that to your Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as Paul and Silas and now Timothy were on their way, they were on their way as part of this Roman road system. And Dennis will probably have he's got a picture of the, I was thinking when we were in Israel, I don't know that, would we have ever stepped on the, oh, but when we, Marilyn and I were in Rome on one occasion, we would have seen and probably stepped on something like this. It was really amazing. It kind of looks like kind of a rough road, doesn't it? You wouldn't want to be driving at 72 miles an hour down that road, probably. But it was really, really helpful for the Roman troops to move down a road like that. And it was helpful for the those who were doing commerce to move down a road versus all the, you know, if you just look on the other side of that road, which do you think would be easier to travel through? With a buggy or with troops or with your family? Now, I think you'd probably choose those large stones that have been put in place. Well, Paul and his friends were traveling on the Roman road, and they were directed by the Spirit of God to, well, don't preach here in Phrygia, or don't preach here in Galatia. Don't talk here. Keep going. And then they wanted to go up to Bithynia and aren't you impressed that I can say these words? Mysia and Asia. But don't preach here. If you're a preacher, and Paul was more than a preacher and a teacher, he was an evangelist. He said he didn't want to get stuck preaching the same thing like a pastor who stays in one place for 28 years. He didn't want to get stuck anywhere just preaching Sunday after Sunday. He wanted to be on the move telling people who had never heard the gospel. And the Holy Spirit said to him, nope, not here, not there, no. We asked last week, well, so how does he do that? How does the Holy Spirit so direct people? Not here, not now. Keep going. I've got somebody else for you to talk to. Well, it comes from people who are, like Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 15, people that are abiding in him, people who are spending time with him daily. When they pray, it's not just one-way communication. God is also, by the power of his Spirit, speaking to them. And it's a mystery. But for all of us who know what it's like to have the Spirit of God living within us, and we open our Bibles and we read and we think and we pray and we interact with other Christians along the way and we share the journey with them along the way, God keeps directing our paths. Sometimes some of our friends will poke us a little bit and they'll say, I don't like what you're saying right there. That's not right. I don't think we should talk about what we're talking about right now. Stop. Bible tells us that the faithful blows of a friend are something in which we need to take great delight rather than, I'm going to avoid friends like that. So we don't know, but along the way, these evangelists are being told, don't do it here, get to Troas. Now he has a vision, and he jumps on a boat and he heads for Macedonia. Gets off the boat and goes 10 miles north to the city of Philippi. We're going to see a map, and I hope you can see this. He started out over here in Antioch, and this is Antioch in Syria, and he works his way up, and he's going beyond up through Lystra, where he picks up Timothy, and then he continues up, and we'll see that he's made his way now by ship, and he goes over to Neapolis. I said before, last week, you should bring your Bible, or a Bible that maybe has maps in the back, or if you're using electronic media, be able to follow this, because this journey is going to continue until it takes him all the way back to Jerusalem. But along the way, there's going to be one divine encounter after another. And along the way, he just keeps at it, and he just keeps at it, and he just keeps at it. Now here, just this moment of application, folks. Every one of us is on a journey. Do you think God will have anything to do with your journey this week? Do you think I'm not asking for hands raised on this one. Do you think you will probably have some divine encounters that could easily go unnoticed if you didn't know or weren't reminded of the fact that God is with you and he is present? And life is not just some one big random event, but God is going to put us all in the path of people who are either destined for eternity or they are destined for judgment. Wouldn't that path be an important path that we're on? Lots of us would say, well, you know, hey, I'm no missionary. And I dare say God would say, I think differently. You see, I've appointed you. See, you didn't choose me. John 15:16. You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. That whatever you ask of me in my Father's name, it will happen. If you abide in me and my word abides in you. You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Those are marching orders for every single believer in Christ in this room. So we're called to keep at it. And this morning I want us all to face this fact. The Holy Spirit leads us. He leads us to people who are ready to hear and respond to him. Would you please, I'd like you to just write that down. The Holy Spirit leads us to people who are ready to hear from him. It's actually at the bottom of your notes, and it's in bold letters, and I'd like you to put a star there. And you're going to have to determine, even as I'm speaking, whether you really believe that or not. The Holy Spirit leads us to people who are ready to respond to him. First of all, he sends us to people who are upon whom he is already working. Look at what's happening here. From Troas, we put off to sea and went to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, the leading city in that district, and we stayed there for several days. Now, what would you do if you were Paul? What do you think? Paul and Silas, and you've been not here, not now, not here, not now. You have a vision at night, and you're called to a certain place. I could not imagine why God called me to Southern California from the Midwest, from Minnesota. For 3 months after we got here, I kind of groused about it. And, you know, and I would get grousy and complaining about things like when it's 95 and there's a glare and we're on our way up to the Bay Area, you know, driving in our car, and we're heading up the 5, and I'm looking, isn't there supposed to be a mountain out there? And in the midst of all that glare, I can't see it. And I think I groused till we got entirely out of the valley, and we're up, the air is cleared a little bit. So here's Paul and Silas, and they get to Neapolis, and they get up to Philippi, and they're wondering, well, where's that guy we saw in the vision? Come over and help us. And there's no welcoming committee. Maybe you've gone to a city and you didn't know who was going to pick you up at the airport, and you came out, and maybe we all see these people at the airports. They, you know, they're standing with a sign, and then they've got your name actually upside down. But who's going to take me where I'm supposed to be? There's no guy from Macedonia. So where would you go to find out why you're there? You know where Silas went? He went to see some guy in a van down by the river. No, he didn't really. That's an old one. But he did go down to the river. Why would he go down to the river? Why did he go down there? Oh, he went down to the river because he expected to find a prayer meeting down there. Why would he expect that? Well, every place Paul went, he would look for a synagogue to at least go start. I'll go worship with some people there, and that'll kind of break the ice. I'll be able to talk to people in a synagogue about God. And along the way, even though they didn't grow up learning about Jesus in VBS, you know, I'm gonna find some people who are eager to talk about God and His Word. And I think I know where to go from there, as long as they're going to be talking about God. And so he goes down by the river. Now, technically, this is why he did it. If a city had if there were a number of Jewish people living in the city, if there were 10 Jewish families, then they qualified, provided there were 10 men who could start a synagogue. They qualified as a group of people who could actually have a synagogue in that place. And a synagogue was not a temple, but it was a place to go and hear the Hebrew scriptures read, and where people would then pray, reading the scriptures and praying, reading the scriptures. And if there was a traveling rabbi, a traveling scholar, there would be someone who would stand up and respond based upon the scripture. We see in the life of Jesus that Jesus would step into various towns, and he'd go to the synagogue, and people would look to him and give him the honor of coming up and reading from a scroll and then responding. Well, if you didn't have 10 men, but you had some God-fearing people who loved the Hebrew scriptures, you would, while you didn't qualify to have a synagogue, you were instructed in their writings to go into an open-air place, preferably down by a river, and there you would read the scriptures and pray. So Paul thought it'd be a good place. Idea to go down by the river and see if there's some people gathered there. He went expecting God to have some people there for him. You know, if you take a look at your questions, I want you to think about the very first question in the back of on the back of your notes. The first question is, it starts out this way. The Holy Spirit prevented Paul and Silas from preaching the word in Asia. Then they had a vision of a man from Macedonia urging them to come over and help us. Yet without a welcoming party, they had to discover what God was up to in that mission field. Where did they go to discover what God was doing? And the answer is down by the river, right? I got thinking about this last night, and I I pulled up on YouTube. Please don't do this now. But I pulled up on YouTube last night. Let's see. What's the song? Down to the river to pray. Studying about that good old day. And I tell you, when I looked on YouTube on that video, it was the very first YouTube was a black and white video of a bunch of people down at a baptism, down by the river. And I got a lump in my throat. I started to tear up because it was one picture of a group of people after a group of people after a group of people down by the river. And they were coming to be baptized. And you would see 20, 30, 40, 50 more people standing in the water about to be baptized, fully immersed. Some were wearing white robes and some were wearing suits with ties. Can you imagine this? Down to the river to pray. Look it up. Down to the river to pray. That's all you have to look for in YouTube. But do it this afternoon, please. So question number two, I wanted it to all lead up to this. Where are you and your like-minded buddies likely to look to see what God is doing? Every single one of these questions is crucial to this message this week, and I hope you'll pay attention. Think through each one of these. Where are you and your like-minded buddies who you say you love the Lord? I believe you do. You say you want to disciple people or reach people for Christ. So where are you and your like-minded friends in Christ likely to go to find out what God is doing? Now, Paul already chose down to the river to pray. Now, if that's for you, okay, I'm fine with that. But where are you likely to look? We're going to go on. So God sends people to people who are already... That he is preparing. He's preparing. Let me tell you, folks, for every single one of us, if we have this in our heart, we and our buddies, and we want to reach people for Christ, God is at work. We say it all the time. He's always at work in the world. And we just want to find out where he's working and join him. Amen? Amen. If we just want to find out where he's working and join him. And then we know that God prompts his people, or prompts people, to listen to him. Now, I keep thinking about this. Where would you go? I know some people here. I know some people that there's some women in our church who have invited people to Bible study fellowship. I remember one woman was coming to our church, and she invited one of the school moms, a friend of one of her kids, and she invited this friend who, I don't know, didn't have much of a spiritual background to our knowledge. She invited her friend to Bible study fellowship. And because she liked to be with her friend and she really needed something to do, she went to a Bible study fellowship. And that year's study was in the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus. You know, it's usually, if you decide you're going to read through the Bible in a year, generally you get to the book of Leviticus or Numbers and you kind of go catatonic. It's in the Bible, and it's good, and it is loaded with really, really important stuff. But I mean, you have to be a pretty serious student of the Word of God, and Bible study fellowship requires that you do your homework, and you have to do your homework every single day. So our friend here in church invited her friend, and lo and behold, the Spirit of God is speaking and speaking and speaking. So when I ask the question, where do you and your buddies go to find people that God is working on? Well, it might be to Bible study fellowship. There's another couple of men in our church that have a Monday night Bible study. And they invite their friends, their men friends, to a Bible study. And along the way, as they are inviting their friends to a Bible study, these are craft people that they are inviting. People that are working with their hands and their minds all day long, and they work long hours. And so every week, these men, without a professional teacher, they open God's word and they give their friends a taste of what it means to pay attention to what God says. Where would you and your buddies go? Well, see, God prompts these people to keep listening. Now, verse 13, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected, or it was, some of your translations might say, it was common to find a place of prayer. And we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. Verse 14, one of those listening was a woman named Lydia. Now, my translation says one of those listening. Some of your translations would say was listening. The tense of that verb, listening, the tense of that verb is kind of it's an ongoing tense. And the tense of that verb is saying this person was one of the people that was really listening. One of the people that kept listening. And she kept listening. Well, God, the Spirit who calls us to go out there and do this, prompts us to keep talking, and he prompts the people to whom we're talking, or the people that with whom we're studying God's word, the people with whom we are interacting, he prompts them to keep listening. Are you with me? He prompts us to keep talking. He prompts them to keep listening. And Lydia kept listening. Now, she comes to Christ in the midst of this, but it wasn't like she necessarily had her aha moment right there. Oh, now I know why you showed up here by the river. See, Paul and Silas kept on going back to that place day after day, day after day. Not just on the Sabbath, day after day, they're there. And along the way, as she just kept at it, listening and paying attention to the Word of God. Questions 3 and 4. What do you look for to see if God is working? Well, I would say this, or where God is working, or what he's doing. Seriously, folks, if your friends don't respond, if you just say, hey, how about coming to Bible study fellowship with me? Whether it's a women's Bible study fellowship or a men's Bible study fellowship or a couple's Bible study fellowship. Let's say you invite somebody and that person says, nah, not now. That person's not necessarily ready. That might be the way Paul was just traveling through Galatia and Phrygia and off to Asia and then to Troas. Maybe that's what was happening. But if the person doesn't continue to listen, okay, maybe now's not the time. I don't have to keep shooting drones out there all the time. Just stay with it. Stay with it, and if somebody listens, that's where he's working. But maybe you just need to move on a little bit and not keep pressuring. So, question 3, what do you look for to see where God is working? Question number 4, where do you start in order to join him in what he's doing? And maybe it's right alongside them, doing a Bible study with somebody in school. Maybe praying afterwards with somebody after school or after work or at lunchtime. But you just begin to again, testimonies that people have shared with us recently is people who would say, right now, right on the spot, would you pray with me? Or right now, right on the spot, I'm so sorry about what's been happening in your situation right now. I'm going to pray for you right now. Is that okay? Right here in the restaurant? Sure. Right now on this sideline at a ball game? Absolutely. Let's just pray. Just a moment. I want to just pray with you. And these are all ways of just kind of raising to the surface the opportunity to talk to people about Jesus. God prepares hearts to respond to the gospel. Question number 5. What are you doing to help people become seekers? And then, what do you try to do to help them find intimacy with God? Question number 6. You may be struggling to respond to questions about helping people find intimacy with God. Is that you? When you look at this question? By the way, everybody, make sure you come, when you come in every single Sunday, make sure you get notes so you can kind of follow your way through this. Every one of these questions are designed to help all of us think seriously about this. You may be struggling to respond to questions about helping anyone find intimacy with God in Christ. So you're struggling with that. What might you do to stir up that interest and keep at it? What might you do to stir up your own interest and help? You know, maybe you're saying, I don't know, Pastor, that's not me. I don't know if I really, that's never going to be me. And then you stand up there, Pastor, and say to all of us that we all need to be working with our buddies and working on our own to help people find intimacy with God. Well, that's why we're called. That's why we're still here, if we're followers of Christ. So if you say, what can I do to help anybody find intimacy with God in Christ? Well, why don't you ask him? Why don't you say, Lord, I feel a little bit apathetic about this. Maybe I'd like to just leave that up to you and the leaders in the church. I'd like you to leave that up to you and John and Daniel and the group going to Chicago. I'd like to leave it up to them. But if there's a possibility that you think God might want you working through your personality and your walk with him, would you dare pray, Lord, would you show me how I can help somebody find intimacy with God? Just show me. You think he will? If you're sincere when you ask? I don't think there's any question. I don't think there's any question about it. The same spirit that was alive in Paul and Silas and Barnabas and John Mark, the same spirit is here and he's resident in your life. Just say, Lord, show me how I can stir someone's interest. You know, there were a couple of foods that I really hated. I wanted to like spinach because that's what Popeye ate to get muscles. And I didn't know anything about the kind of spinach that we eat now in salads. All I knew about the stuff in the can that Popeye ate, and every time I tried it, I hated it. Then I hated lima beans. Anybody? Now, nobody will raise their hands, right? Okay, a couple of strange people. But, there was one other vegetable that I really despised, Brussels sprouts. I'm not kidding, I really hated him. And I couldn't stomach the idea of ever eating them. And then one of my daughter-in-laws, who loves to cook, I came in one day and she's cooking in a frying pan Brussels sprouts. They were cut in half, and she was cooking them in olive oil and garlic and I don't know what else was in there, but it was like, can I have seconds? Can I have thirds? and now it's this, I mean, Brussels sprouts have come alive to me. I love Brussels sprouts. So I say all this because here's the deal. Like, probably all of us know lots of people who don't have much of a taste for finding out who Jesus is. And just maybe, the Spirit who's alive in you, if you just say, Lord, would you help me just know how I can give somebody else a taste for what it's like to have a relationship with you. Just a taste. If you'll pray that, if you believe it, God will do it. He will give you opportunities and the mind to share with people just in the most natural, in the most natural way, how they can have a personal, intimate relationship with Christ. It'll run through your personality. It'll run through your love for Jesus. It happened with Paul in Philippi. He went down to the river and found some people who wanted to pray. And Lydia kept listening. And she kept listening. And then the words are here. The end of verse 14. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Now, if you heard me say along the way, if you heard me say, it's all up to you to help people find intimacy with God in Christ, then if that's all you heard, then you'd miss the point. You see, it was the Lord who opened her heart. Right? It was the Lord who opened her heart. You and I wouldn't have come to Christ if the Lord hadn't opened our hearts to him. And while we look to see what he's doing, and while we do what we can to help people just be interested and maybe persist with the push in finding that intimacy with Christ, in the end, it comes down to, and this is like, it takes the burden off my shoulders. It really does. Crew, you know, Campus Crusade for Christ? They used to say successful evangelism is sharing Christ in the power of the Spirit and leaving the results to God. Just sharing Christ in the power of the Spirit. Wherever we live, we go and look, we see, and we offer that relationship to God with those people. God is always at work in the world, and he is right now. May he use us, even us. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for just even a word or two that reminds us that you are absolutely always at work. I thank you that you're working in the lives of children to open up the lives of their friends. I thank you that you're working in the lives of people in every walk of life who know you and love you to help their friends get a taste of what it means to know you and love you and have a relationship with you. And I pray, Father, that's what we'd be all about. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.